Yes, God, you may be seated. Well, great to be here. It's great to see so many faces that we know. You know, as I always say, the greatest blessing in our life is when God brings somebody new into our world. And, you know, the greatest blessing is people. Amen. So when we know each other and live in the same city as each other, you know, there's a great blessing in God's kingdom when we can just join together in the unity of the faith. Bless God. So, you know, it's a privilege to come here. It's a privilege that Pastor Tim asked us to come and minister. I don't take that for granted. That just doesn't automatically happen. It comes from a heart of unity. It comes from a heart of wanting to connect with the body of Christ. And today, I want to talk about Jephthah today. I want to talk about courage. And I want to talk about faith for a little moment today. There's another message I was going to come and minister, but then the Lord put on my heart this simple message. And I don't know, I don't even really need to preach today because I think the Holy Spirit has already spoken to us. You know, through the worship, through the communion, and you know, it's just been a great morning so far, hasn't it? You know, that's the joy that we have in worshiping the Lord, that He knows what He is doing. We may not know, and we may have our own plans. You know, I had my plans of what I was going to talk about, and then the Lord says, no, I want you to talk about faith and worship, faith and courage. So I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 to begin with today. Bless the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 31. And it says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, everyone say faith, amen, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fire, fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and destroyed foreign armies. You know, when we look at Jephthah's life, you know, I love looking at the men of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, but man, every person, every man and every woman that's mentioned in Scripture, we can just learn so much from them. And here today, you know, as we think about Jephthah, we know that he was a tender, loving father. We know that he was a forgiving brother. We know that he was true to his word. We know that he was a brave warrior. We also know that God used him greatly and that he was a judge over Israel for 6 years. We also know that his mother was a prostitute. But he was a great warrior. You know, Jephthah's father was a man of Gilead, and, you know, as I said, his mother was a prostitute. But his brothers didn't want to share their inheritance with Jephthah. They chased him off into a foreign country. You know, some of the worst cruelties are done in families. Some of the worst cruelties are done in the body of Christ. And the reality is that, you know, I've been preaching for over 50 years now. And, you know, in the last 50 years, I've seen a lot of horrible things happen that should never happen, should never take place. But the reality is that bad things happen to good people. But, you know, how are we going to act and how are we going to react is a bigger question. And we as individuals, we're not responsible for other people, but we are responsible for ourselves, responsible for our household. Amen. And, you know, today as we consider that, let's have compassion one for another because we're all growing in Christ, we're all growing in God. And as we grow in the Lord, He's the one that will guide us and enable His grace to be manifest through our life. So when we're born again, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have that love and joy and peace. We have long-suffering. But, you know, the reality is that some of us haven't learned how to be long-suffering and some of us haven't learned how to love. But that nature of love and that nature of long-suffering is within us if we learn how to develop and how to grow it. But Jephthah, he was a man that had some pretty harsh things done to him, but he managed to come through the other side because He found his identity and who God had created him to be. His birth certainly was disputable in regard of being born of a prostitute. But regardless of how we come into this earth, we can leave much better. We can leave as men and women that have learned how to love, have learned how to express that very nature of God and shown that to our community and to our family. That's how we can leave this earth. You may not have entered that earth that way, but we can leave that way. Jephthah, he became a man of faith, and today we could talk for hours on faith. But, you know, faith is simply disregarding my current circumstances and believing God. Believing God for his promises, his promise to you as an individual, his promise to you as a church. Are we just going to walk out in faith and believe what God has for this church? Because, you know, in Revelation it says it's the Lord Jesus Christ who plants a church. A church has a purpose, has a destiny within a city. And it takes many different churches to reach a city. One church cannot reach a city. And the reality is when we have that heart and that faith for the body of believers, we're going to see a breaking out of the power and the glory of God in every church, because it needs every single church firing on the power of the Holy Ghost if we're going to move our society. Amen? You know, Abraham in Romans 4:19, it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And Sarah's womb was also dead. Abram faced the facts. You know, we have to face the reality of where things are at for ourselves and in our city. You know, in our city, we struggle with stinginess within the city of Bundaberg. Because over the city of Bundaberg, there's a stingy spirit. And the reality is that we've got to face the facts that's the reality that of the battle that we fight day in and day out. But, you know, we can overcome that by releasing generosity, by releasing the very joy of the Lord, amen? Because this is a city in which God has called us to go out and touch not just this nation, but the nations of the earth. And, you know, as we reach out, we will touch nations, amen, not just our community. And I thank God for that. You know, faith is simply not giving up on the promise of God, regardless of how long it takes. You know, we're so short-minded, you know, in our society today, because we just want instant everything. Joseph, it took about 13 years for him to get the promise that God had given him. Abraham, it took 25 years. And in Hebrews chapter 6, we read about when Abraham became faithfully consistent to what God was saying about him, and he started declaring the purposes and the promises that God had given to him, that he entered in and received a son. 25 years. And you and I, we have struggled keeping 5 years, let alone 10 years. You know, if I went through statistics, how many come and go within the body of Christ in church life, it is staggering. It's more staggering how many pastors come and go in church life. Amen. Out of 1,000 pastors that go into ministry this year, you know, by the end of the year, end of 2 years, there's only 200 out of the 1,000 that are left in ministry. By 10 years, there's only 20 left in ministry. By 20 years, there's only 2 left in ministry out of 1,000. You know, these are horrible statistics that we have, but the reality is that we've got to stand the faith that God has given us and know the very purposes and the plans that God has called us to if we're going to fulfill what God has put upon our life and on the life of this church here. It takes faith to stand for the promise that God has given. Now, I believe that God is probably calling this church into some different fields and areas presently. And as that time comes about, let's get on board and let's support what God is wanting to do in this church. Amen. Faith is simply realizing that I may not see it at the moment. I may not feel like it. I may not be able to touch it. But God said it. And so I'm going to believe what God has said. Amen. We're going to believe what God has said. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe what God said. I want to be like Peter. You know, Peter's out fishing and Jesus comes along and he says, throw your net on the other side. Jesus, what would you know? You're a carpenter, you're not a fisherman. Mate, I've just cleaned all the nets. You've got to be pulling me chain if you think I'm going to throw the nets out on the other side. Oh. But, you know, Peter actually believed what Jesus said and he threw the net out on the other side and he got a great catch. You know, sometimes we just got to do things that are beyond our own mental capacity to see or to understand. Because God delights in working in harsh situations. God delights in answering our situation. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. So I want you to turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. He's a mighty warrior. So this point here that I have this morning is that let's not be defined by what other people say. Because you and I, we can be defined what other people say and miss out on what God has for us. Because God calls us to things far greater than ourselves. Don't be defined by what other people say. He was a great warrior. You know, you may not have grown up in a family that has told you how good you are and how magnificent you look and, you know, how gorgeous you are. Oh, sorry, Pastor Tim. I do have some things that go through my poor little brain at times. And I just think about when we're doing Bible college and this one lady, she certainly climbed the ugly tree and fell out and hit every branch on the way down. But anyway, she was a beautiful person. And in the end, I loved her more than any other the instructors that we ever had because of the very beauty of God that was within her. You know, the thing is that let's not be defined what other people say. We can define our lives by what others say. We can define our lives by our experiences if we like. But if we just define our lives by all the good things that happen in our life, we're going to become arrogant. And there's many Christians that are just arrogant people. How's that ever going to draw anyone into the kingdom? If we just define our lives by all the bad things that happen, man, we have a chip on our shoulder. And we get to that state of you know, just being a victim to life. Don't define ourselves by those things. Don't become a victim. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I could not read and speak at the same time. There's no connection between the brain and the mouth. Some people may argue that's still the case now. You know, at the end of the day, it was horrible growing up and that because, you know, when the teacher asked you to read in school and you couldn't read, you get the cane out, you get the cane because you couldn't read. And, you know, when I began to preach, I had to memorize every scripture that I gave because I could not read a scripture and speak at the same time. God has healed me of that. Amen. I know now, after all these years, after having many doctors in our church, that I've got dyslexic issues. One doctor explained to me all of my little problems and how I overcome them. This guy knows everything about me. Unbelievable. He knows how to react. Bless God. Don't define yourself by what other people say. You know, I had some pastors when I was 16 years of age. I asked them about going to Bible college, and they encouraged me that don't waste your time nor ours. It was very encouraging. And you know, at the end of the day, if I had a young guy, I'd probably give him the same advice, to be quite honest, because of the issues that were going on in my little world. But I didn't realize that. All I could remember as a young child sitting on the side of my bed crying and saying, Lord, I want to be a pastor for you. Amen. Because the reality is when you've been forgiven of much, you can love much. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in my world that God has forgiven me of that enables a loving heart and attitude towards others most of the time. I do sin occasionally. Bless God. Second point this morning. From Judges 11, verse 1, the second part says, but his mother was a prostitute. Being defined by others, being defined by, you know, a school teacher, being defined by other spiritual leaders, being defined by parents, being defined by your boss where you first started work. Then in verse 2, it goes on, it says, Gilead's wife also bare him sons, and when they were grown, they drove Jephthah away. You know, we got to be careful what we hear. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to encourage ourselves in the word of God. You know, Abraham had to get to a point where he encouraged himself in what God had promised him, that he was going to have a son. Abraham had to get to that stage of believing what God had said. And sometimes, you know, it just takes a lot of time. 20-odd years ago, my mother had cancer, and it was right through her body, into her spine and everything. And had a lovely Christian doctor operate and just say, well, you know, she's only got a matter of weeks or months to live. And, you know, she got back into what the Word of God said, Lord, your word said there's healing. There's healing in your name. And she started declaring and speaking the word of the Lord over her life. Now, she can be very eccentric in her way. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that believe what God has given you, the word he's got for you for the time. Because my mum keeps telling me I'm around here because I need to be around here to straighten you out, Dallas. I keep saying, Lord, haven't I got straightened out enough yet that she can go home? You know, she turns 93 in a few weeks' time. But bless God. You know, God's good. Amen. Believe what you hear. You know, Jephthah he got to a stage where he started believing what his brothers are saying. He started believing that he had no inheritance, he had no right to be in his father's house, and he was chased off to a foreign land. You know, so easy to be chased off the promises that God has given for us, even as individuals, even as a church. It's easy to get chased off the promises that are given to us because hardships come against us. People start speaking evil against the church, against the body of believers. But what is God saying? Because what God says and what you say are the important things. And what God said and what I said made a difference in my life. It's not what others were saying. It's what I was going to believe and not go around with a chip on the shoulder, not go around with an attitude in that. But God, it's you and me. It's no one else. That's what we have to come to. It's you and me, Lord, no one else. In Judges 11:2, it says, you are not going to get an inheritance in our family. What demonic words. There's no hope. Get out of here. We want to see your back. We don't want to see your face. You know, the thing is, when we dishonor, what happened in heaven, when God was dishonored, Lucifer was thrown out of heaven. What happens when we dishonor in a marriage? It breaks down. You know, when we honor, becomes a drawing together. Let's be drawn by the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, his brothers were actually saying to Jephthah that you're not going to get any of the inheritance naturally, spiritually, or any other way. Just get out of our world. Get out of our life. What a horrible thing to happen. Even Gilead let that happen to his son. You know, we can get discouraged because discouragement actually is just the opposite of courage, a lack of it. And it's easy to have a lack of courage. And then the last part of that verse 2, it goes on, it says, you're the son of another woman. You're the son of a prostitute. How'd you like to carry that around with you? You know, what difference would that make in your world if you're having that thrown at you all the time? But, you know, we've got to get to the point that you know that you have a purpose. And this is one of the things that was being said today through the worship and that you have a purpose, a God-given purpose. And God's purpose and plans that he has for us are to bless us and to give us a hope and a future. Amen? From Jeremiah. You know, Jephthah, even though he's chased off, that he was given a God-given purpose, because in Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16, it says that while you're in your mother's womb, he has planted purpose and passion and that in you. Not in the pastor or someone else. Yes, they got their own. Not your passion. Your passion's of your own. And that's been planted in us. Regardless whether your mother was a prostitute, regardless of whether you were conceived from a rape situation, God has put you in there and he's given a purpose and a plan for your life, and he can take that horrible situation and turn it around and bring the very glory and the very grace of God through that. Amen. Verse 3, we read on, it says, so Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Where do you think this leadership came from? It came from God. It didn't come from anything else. It wasn't just some imagination. It came from out of his heart. You know, I have people all the time ask me, how do I know what God wants me to do? You just got to follow your heart. That's how simple it is. We just make church so complicated and try to spiritualize everything to the point that we can't even function in life, that we think we need somebody to prophesy over us and give us all these great words. And God has already given us a great word. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And that happened before this earth was created. That happened before any tree was growing here in this earth. Before Adam and Eve were put in the earth. God has already done it. Amen. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. Jephthah, he was a great warrior despite of his father, despite of his mother, despite of his brothers. Because he was created in the image of God, regardless of mum, dad, or anyone else. Amen. So in verse 4, we go on, it says, sometime later when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they said, be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. The thing was, he went off into a foreign country, but he developed this very gift that God had given him. And in that foreign land, that gift grew and developed where he became this great mighty warrior. He was a mercenary. He had a whole army that followed him. And they'd go out and make a great deal of money fighting for others. But that was put in for his own country. It wasn't going around fighting everyone else's battle. It was put in for his own nation. Many times that you see people in the body of Christ that God's put this purpose and destiny in them, and they're out there doing all sorts of stuff instead of fulfilling what God has called them to do in life. You know, I want to say this to each one of us today. Your day is coming. God is a redeemer. And that word redeem means to come back to God's original idea and intent. God wants you to come back to that originality that he's put within your heart. Amen. You know, you look at Moses in the situation he was born in, and he ends up getting raised in Pharaoh's house to become the next Pharaoh. But Moses knew of his destiny because it was in his heart. Proverbs 16:3 says that God will cause your thinking to become agreeable to his will, so your ways are going to be established, so you will succeed in life. Amen. That's amplified. And you know, God wants you to consider life itself. So Moses, he ends up in Pharaoh's house. Yes, God had called him to be a leader, but he ends up killing an Egyptian, and he goes running off. He's out in the desert for years, year in, year out, until God said to him, go back and be the man that I've called you to be. There was more training and that had to be done in Moses' life. You know, God will bring things full circle. Sometimes we think we've missed the mark and we've missed out on what God has called us to do. God can shorten time, he can lengthen time. He can get so much done in a short period of time. You know, I used to get messed up saying, well, I've missed the mark and I've got caught up in a few things here. I'm going to miss out on what God has for it. No, because God can actually shorten time. You can get so much done in such a short period of time when God is with you. Amen. And we get so messed up because, oh man, I failed. Everything's messed up. Verse 7. Jethro said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Hey, Jethro, he didn't forget what had happened. God doesn't call you to be stupid and throw your brains away when you get born again. Many Christians and that, they get born again and they think it's a call to throw your brains out and don't recognize things that actually happen in life. He remembered the past, but he didn't keep a chip on his shoulder, but he kept his brothers accountable to what they'd done. There's got to be accountability in life. God's a God of justice. And he hasn't called you and I to make that justice. He's called us to put it into his hand. Because I personally send quite a few people straight to heaven. Don't go past go. Anyway, I just had another thought went through my head, but I can't share that thought with you. Sorry. You know, the world system is, well, blow you, mate. You've created the mess. You get yourself out of the mess. You know, we probably have some way of expressing that in a manner that they may understand as well. That may not be very godly. But, you know, Jephthah didn't say to his brother, just man up, grow a set, get on with life. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say you're a bunch of wimps. Verse 8, it says, the elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites, and you will be our head over all who live in Gilead. And Jephthah answered, suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head? And the elders of Gilead replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead and the people made him head and commander over them. What Jephthah ends up doing is saying, well, we're going to talk before God. I'm going to be accountable to God. I'm going to get you to be accountable to God. We're going to actually make a vow before God because that's what they're really doing. And Ecclesiastes says, you know, when you make a vow, be very careful how you make a vow. It was 30 years ago, the Lord convicted me about not making people in the church make vows because he said, what are you doing? Just bringing people into bondage. Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Go around making vows and that, you know, then we end up in bondage because we don't even realize that we've broken the vow. We get into Leviticus chapter 26. We've got the five cycles of discipline that God brings to to people, and it happens in our life today. If God calls you to repent and you don't repent, your situation will become seven times worse. And then he'll call you to repent again. And if you don't, you'll become seven times worse. And on the fifth time, you come totally in bondage to that area of life that God's been trying to get you set free from. Israel ended up becoming slaves to other nations because they continually forgot that, just because God didn't strike them down dead on the first time, by the fifth time, they end up becoming slaves to other countries. Anyway, that's getting off the beaten track here. Let's move on. You know, it takes courage to stand before God and say, well, God, you hold me accountable. You know, the rest of those men, you'd be accountable to God. You know, the reality is within the body of Christ today, there's very little fear of God. There's so much preaching on loving, which is great. We need to know the love of God, but we need to know the fear of God. The fear of God is reverence for him, respect for his ways of doing things, because he will take care of things. Just because a person seems to get away with something doesn't mean to say that they have gotten away with anything. God will deal with it. Amen. That's a hard one to reconcile with. It takes courage to fight about fight the good fight of faith. It takes courage, if you understand, before God, even in a marriage, and deal with the situations in a marriage. Now, I know I'm getting off track here, but I just feel to hit on this because, you know, in marriage and that, communication is one of the greatest breakdowns within a marriage, is the communication. With your spouse, do you know the five love languages of your spouse? Do you know what will make them really feel loved and appreciated and wanted? Do you know the seven motivational gifts of your spouse? What are the strengths and weaknesses of your spouse? Do you know why they make the decision that they make? If we don't go and understand these aspects about each other, how are we going to function together and communicate together? Moving on, verse 12. Then Jephthah sent messages to the Ammonite kings with the question, what do you have against us that you have attacked our country? So we find Jephthah, he returns to the purpose that God had in his life. He comes back to his own nation, and he makes the men of his own nation accountable before God, and he starts to function in what God had called him to do. And this was regardless of who his father was. It didn't matter who his mother was, because he found out what God had put within his heart, and he started functioning with what God had given unto him. You know, courage begins with having the understanding of who we are. If we don't understand who we are, how are we going to have the courage to actually move forward and do things positively? Amen. Oh, we can blame others. Oh, my mother wasn't very nurturing. I could blame my mother. You know, when I was a child, and that I was traumatized because, you know, some guys were coming onto our farm and that. So mum takes a .22 down and pulls a rifle on the guys and takes them up to the house and makes them ring up to say, you know, we're not going to doze a shed down that we had on the property. That was my mother. I don't know where that come from. My mother wasn't very nurturing. Oh, yes, she was very nurturing, Pastor Tim. It's just that sometimes that she had a way of encouraging people that many others would become very questionable. I'll never forget the first motorbike I went to buy. I went in having a look at this 550 Honda. And anyway, the guy said to him, went to sign the papers for it. And he says, Douglas, you don't need that motorbike. Because he found out the name was Hobbs. Hobbs. You're related to Delmay Hobbs. Yeah, that's my mum. No, you don't need that motorbike. I'll give you the 750 Honda Super Sports for the same money. I said, man, that's hundreds of dollars dearer. And he was prepared to give me that bike because he had an encounter with my mother when my brother got his first motorbike. And he was not going to have a second encounter with Delmo. You know, we can blame all these childhood things, or we can just say, well, God, what have you got for me? Amen? God, what have you got for me? Where are you leading me? What are you doing? You know, Jephthah's brothers come to him in that time of crisis. His family rejected him. They had abandoned him. They'd run him off. But, you know, Jephthah, his brothers come to him in time of crisis. Don't live with the pain afflicted by others. Don't live with the pain afflicted by others. Every one of us will have trauma. Every one of us will have pain happen in our life because painful things happen to good people. I don't care how good you are. You're going to have pain in life. So we don't live life with the pain affected by and afflicted by others. Because you don't have to. I don't have to live that way. You know, it's good to find that out. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to live with a chip on my shoulder. You know, a lot of the guys I grew up had a chip on their shoulder about different things. You know, the family hasn't got enough money. This has happened. That's happened. Everything else has happened. Oh, yeah, these things happen. Get over the things that happen in life, because I can remember when our house burnt down before I went to school, and, you know, we ended up having to live down the road in a house that you could see the stars through the roof at night. You had to watch where you walked on the floor because you go through the floorboards. When it rained, you slept in the car at night. You can either move on or be affected by it. Let's not keep looking for the approval of others. Most of us spend half our life looking for the approval of somebody else, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. A great deal. Don't live life for the approval of others at any time. You know, one thing I learned early in life, I started contracting before I turned 18 years of age. So by the time I turned 18, I had three guys working for me. I had dozens of guys working by the time I was 21. One of the things I've learned was don't regret the decisions that you make. Most of us start regretting decisions that we make because as life goes on, oh, if I've only done this, I've only bought that house, I've only invested here, I've only didn't do that job. If I didn't quote on that building to do that building, there's $500,000 I could have saved myself. You know, we make the decisions that we make on the best knowledge we have at the time. And if you go around regretting the decisions that you make, you're going to live in pain. I refuse to regret the decisions. I will acknowledge that things could have been better. If I had greater knowledge, I would have made a different decision. But even how bad things can come at times, if you embrace the pain and say, Lord, my eyes are upon you. I have faith in you. When we do that, God will bring you through greater than you were before. Amen. How's our time going, bro? I'm getting carried away here. I don't know. You surviving all right? Okay. Well, we'll try to finish off soon. Jephthah, he was a great warrior, magnificent warrior. But what report will you believe? He believed his brothers and his ran off. But he found the purpose and destiny in life. You know, criticism usually overrides greatness. If we listen to criticism, it's going to override the greatness that we have. Pastor Tim listened to criticism and it overrides the greatness that God has for his life. Amen. And that's the same for every one of us. Criticism will override greatness. If you're not getting criticized, you're probably doing nothing. So be thankful if you're getting criticized. Thank you, Lord, that I'm actually doing something. Go home and think about it. If you haven't got criticism coming against you at the moment, just think, am I actually doing anything? Or I'm just sucking up oxygen, being an oxygen thief on this earth. Don't worry, next Sunday you got Pastor Tim back. He's smooth, he's gentle, he's loving, he's kind. He's all the things that you'll need. Amen. You know, the reality is a moment's insight is worth a lifetime's experience. You know, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When we get an insight that greater is the power of the Holy Ghost in me than he that is in the world. You know, quite often as believers in that, we forget that when Israel came out of Egypt, Pharaoh and his army couldn't follow. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh's a type of Satan. Israel comes out and Pharaoh and his armies couldn't follow. And we're so worried about the devil. Well, he can't follow you around. You're born again. You're born of above. You're not born of beneath. You're born of above. Amen. The very grace of heaven dwells within you. You know, Jesus said, I give you power and authority and I want you to have dominion on this earth. You know, and it's time for believers that we have dominion on this earth and not just walk around as though, oh, woe is me because the devil's chasing me. You know, all the Israelites had to do was face the, you know, Hittites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. You know, all those ites, every one of them are things that you and I will face in our life. One of the ites is laziness, and that's the greatest challenge for the church today is to face laziness of believers that won't get out and talk about the gospel. Turn to your neighbor and say, the pastor really loves us today. Come on, tell your neighbor, the pastor really loves us today. Yeah, thank you. Man, that's encouraging. You know, you've got such an encouraging church, you know, when they tell me that I'm preaching okay. Man, that was wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you. Bless God. You know, most discouragement is because we don't know who God has made us. We don't follow the very passion in our heart. But, you know, we have responsibility for who we are. We have responsibility for what we stand for. And it's going to take courage to stand in the face of harsh words. It's going to take courage to stand in the face of criticism. And if we don't face the conflicts in life, they are going to be chasing us the rest of our life. Jephthah didn't make his brothers pay, but he held them accountable. Jephthah, he first honored God. Got his brothers to honor God. If we have the courage to face everything that's behind us, we're going to face everything that's in front of us. I think I better stop there. So I want to just finish off with this thought this morning that I don't know everyone in this building here today, and I don't know whether you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to make you this new person that God's created you to be. Because when Adam sinned, it says all mankind sinned. So in the Old Testament, we've got the sin offering for the nature of sin. Also in the Old Testament, we've got the trespass offering for sin that is made after you were born again. So I'm trying to make it simple. So you've got the nature of sin, and then you've got sin that you sin against your brother, you sin against your sister. Sin against God. Sin known and sin unknown. That's what the trespass offering is about. And maybe you haven't asked Jesus Christ to come in to forgive you of that nature of sin or even sins that you have committed in the last week. So I'm going to ask this morning, Are there ones in this building here that would like to come to the front and say, Lord, I want to repent. I want to change the direction in which I'm going. And Lord, I want you to help me in my journey in life. You know, Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness of God that will cause people to repent. God doesn't want to beat you up, knock you down. He doesn't want to send you to heaven. He wants you to be on this earth to actually help others. And I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But verse 17 says that Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn us. He didn't come as the judge, but we will face him as our judge one day. But presently, he's come as a loving redeemer to get us back to God's original idea and intent of that love with the Heavenly Father. So I'm asking the question today, is there any person or persons here in the building that would like to make a fresh commitment before God and say, Lord, forgive me of things that I've done recently, or for the very first time, Lord, come into my heart and forgive me? Because I'm going to ask you to come to the front if you want to do that. And you may say, I'll be too embarrassed to do that. Well, I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment before people here on this earth than have to stand before Jesus himself. Because we all will, for the things that we've done and the actions we've committed. But the thing is, he is a loving, caring Father. The people in the church here are loving, caring people who want to love and care for you, because we're all in the same state. Romans 3:23 says, for all, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, Paul was talking to believers. He wasn't talking to non-believers when he made that statement. He says, we've all sinned. We're all in the same boat. So if you'd like to come forward this morning, you come forward. And at the end, also would like to pray for people that would like to overcome a critical spirit. Because the thing is, life is harsh and hard. Difficulties come against us. And if you want prayer in any area of what we've ministered from the Word of God today, I'd like to pray with you today. So I'm going to hand over to Pastor Tim, and you do what you feel to do now, brother.
We have our prayer team as well that will be.